Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following podcast contains mature language and adult discussions.
Welcome. Caught me with a little gas there. Welcome to our residency here. Click this podcast. Kevin Nash Podcast. I'm Sean. He's Kevin. You know, I was thinking, I mentioned our residency, right? You know, like when a band does one venue. Billy Joel just did it for a few years at Madison Square Garden.
Right.
He played once a month. That punk bitch, he did 12 shows a year. Okay, Madison Square Garden's what, 20? Let's round. Let's say 20, right? 20,000 seats.
He did it in a round, too, right?
I don't know. It might have been. So, all right. So, 20, 22, whatever it ends up being, right? 22 once a month for 12 months. And, oh, everybody's carrying on. Oh, sells out Madison Square Garden 12 months in a row. Kevin, what do we do weekly? 40, 50,000 a week, not a month, a week. We're selling out a 50,000-seat stadium once a week. Some people come back multiple times. Some people are new. That's our residency. 52 a year, 50,000 seats. Sold out, except when we put Joe Biden on the thumbnail. Then maybe we get about 35 in the house.
But... Hey, it's paid for this crib. I just picked up that piano today.
I wanted to compliment you on your masonry work on the fireplace. Is impressive.
Man, thank God for some of these shows. These, you know, I get on some of the, you know, the shows and they just
HGTV type stuff.
Yeah, like, but I mean, this is like, you know, this is so cutting. Like Bob Vila used to be the man. Now it's just like this. You know, this is like laser technology. I would cut the stone with an actual laser beam.
So. Hey, good for you. You need the right tool. That's what they say. It's all about having the
Always having the right tool.
That shelf, though, I will say, the shelf, the wooden shelf with the two studs below it is almost exactly... I have a very similar fireplace in the Florida crib, right? And goes all the way up like that. And that shelf is almost exact. Is that a Florida residence? I wonder if it was the same builder.
I wouldn't think so. Yeah, it could be. Yeah. I wouldn't have carpet in that front part of the house, though.
Oh, you know, that's true. Not there. Especially if your pool's right out on the lanai there.
Yeah, just
drag that in.
Or if you're by the sand, it's just...
Let's forget it. Yeah, that's...
You're running a fucking vacuum every day.
Ken, what the hell's going on this week? Oli, we...
Yeah, Oli. I don't think that. I don't know. Maybe like if many people know that Ole broke me in. Like, Ole gave me my first contract.
How did that go? How did he come to?
He was looking at the time, I guess. Yeah, they were looking to replace the Road Warriors who'd went up to New York, and they were just so. Ole said, you know, he was looking for. That's where that Master Blaster gimmick came from. He actually went, you know, came down to Jody Hamilton's Quonset hut, and we put on a little match, and then. With Horner and Brad Armstrong. And I mean, we were already signed by then, but I mean, Ole wanted to make sure that we were, you know, was what it was. But he gave me my break.
You always hear, man, you always have to tread carefully, right? When someone goes, you don't want to bring up anything negative. But I always heard such horror stories about dealing with him. Was he okay with you?
You know what, man? Like, he was a miserable prick.
Right.
But he was a lovable. Like, he was right up my alley. You know what I mean? Like, he was just, I'm a prick, so it's like, I got him. I always got him.
Son of Ole.
Yeah, no, I always got Ole. I never had a problem with him.
Was it just because he was old school in his sensibilities and stuff, or
I just think
didn't
he was
have people skills?
On top of that, he was he was a man. You know, he wouldn't know. You know, Ole was you know, he was a real deal, and I put it on Instagram. Somebody had put a picture of Ole passing. I put on it. You know, nobody's did more for my career. I said because. Not only did he sign me, but I walked in and asked for my release to go be Shawn Michaels' bodyguard, and he never looked up and he signed it. So I owe him for both sides. Got me in the business and didn't bitch say anything. Just sign my release. You don't want to be here, and he didn't say anything. But basically, if you don't want to be here, get the fuck out.
How did you put it to him? What did you say?
I just told him. I said, "Listen." I said, first off, I drove with Barry Windham to TV, and Barry was office. So, you know, I'm usually fucking a jerk off, and I usually talk and I'll sing with the radio, whatever. I didn't say a word, and Dalton was only maybe 900 miles from Atlanta. I was in Marietta, I think, at the time. And so was Barry. We both lived at the same place in La Park. And I just looked out the window, and I didn't say anything. And finally he said, "You all right, man?" I said, fucking wife's going to leave me if I stay in the business. And he's like, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "We're just not making enough money." And so he said to me, he said, "Well, you need to go go ask for your release." So it was set up knowing I was coming in, and it was really nothing to talk about because I wasn't going to give up my wife over the business. So I just walked in, I said, "This is my release." And he just was doing something in front of him, and he just looked over at it, signed it. He didn't look up and say good luck.
Was that the last time you spoke to him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What were you making? This is Oz, right?
125.
Minus road expenses is $12,600, right?
Oh, well, Oz didn't work that much. And then when he did work, a lot of it was in Japan. So that was on New Japan. Like, New Japan picked up my weekly pay.
Oh, okay.
And then I always got bonus from New Japan when I worked.
So more over in Japan than here.
Oh, yeah. They'd always say, you know, when your shit comes up, man, don't resign.
Wow.
You can do 20 weeks here.
Huh. Was Ole, creatively speaking, was he the type that would allow input from you, from a worker?
I was so green,
right?
Beyond green. I didn't even. It was when you break in, and like you've only got one person that semi has a clue at the camp you're at. Like, you know, just one person. That's, I mean, and this guy's young. He's not in good shape, and but he like, you know, he was a good training partner for where I was because I was the shits, but man, that first year was just some of the guys that took the time, like the Mike Rotundas and. Some of those guys, man, that you know, even my second year, like Jake, you know, Jake would spend time and Rude would just say, fucking just get over. Just go out there and beat the fuck out of them. You know, so. But you remember those guys. You know, but at that stage of my relationship with Ole, man, I was so green. It's just
right,
and that was, you know, it was still that tackle drop down, you know, hip toss, you know, come at me, drop toe hold, I'll float the head, da, 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 da. Like that old school Southern, you know, I mean, a ton of fucking hip tosses and arm drags.
You mentioned Rotunda, right?
Yeah.
It's for in doing Sean's book, he cites him as one of the people, because he was over in, he was doing IRS at the time when Sean was there. So as one of the guys that he, like, he learned a lot before, but he's like, when I got into the ring with someone like Mike, and he credits a few other people too, that's when he was saying he really learned how to work, like, big time matches. And
Mike was really fucking good.
Yeah.
I mean, I had my first house show match with Mike, but it was a tag, and it was Mike and Tim Horner. And Mike was the larger of the two guys, and he would do the big, and he would just, like, the first night, man, I'm thinking, like, I have no idea what the fuck to do. We get in there and we lock up, and he's, you know, says, you know, grab a head. And I said, I grab your head? He goes, you know, and I'm just talking. Like I'm grabbing your head? He's like, yeah, fucker, grab my head. So I grab him in the head, and he goes, you know, he says to me, do you speak Carney? I said, a little bit. I said, but it don't matter, because you just said grab a head in English, and I didn't fucking do it. So if you start talking in Carney, you're going to add another. We're going to take the SAT. I'm not really intelligent, but don't worry. It's going to be in German. Oh, okay.
In that case.
That'll make it much easier. But, yeah, then each night he would add a another piece to the puzzle. And then we got it where we, you know, where we tag out. And then we had another, like, section two that we did. And, yeah, so I've told this story a lot, and I can't tell it enough, because it's just one of those things where I think TV started at maybe like 1:30 at Center Stage. Like, you had to be there. And he told me to be there at 11. And I sat for an hour and a half and dropped elbows on him, because my elbows were so fucking bad. And I was crunching them. I was fucking...
What's the key to a good elbow drop, then? Help me.
I mean,
thinking now, my finisher.
Now it's just secondary. Like, I, you know, I like to hit the ropes on the first one, and why, you know, the, you know, you, once you learn how to work, it's like anything else in life. It's like, that's one of those things that you can make look impressive if you know how to drop it. And Dusty dropped a great elbow, you know, so.
Dusty, I like Paul Orndorff's the forward one, not the side drop, that
right
short one. That was knee drop too. He was great with the knee drop.
Yeah, Flair was a good knee drop guy.
Oh, yeah, Flair, too. Very similar style to Orndorff.
Yeah.
One of the things Sean said in the book, he was talking about road agents, and he talked about when they made Mike the agent, didn't work because he was great as a talent, a coach, someone to work against, but he was too close to having been working with all the boys. He was friends with everybody.
Right.
Then they made him an agent, and there hadn't been enough time that passed, and it was just like, it was like being the hall monitor to his friends. He was like, fuck this.
Right. What are you doing out of the room? Don't worry about it, man. Don't say anything.
So then Virgil today.
Yeah.
Passes away. 61.
He had had some strokes, and he had had some health issues. I saw him a couple of years ago, and we talked for a little bit. And, yeah, he's one of those dudes, man, that just he was always out hustling on weekends and shit. But he was just a genuinely nice fucking guy. Like, I've never heard Virgil say a bad word about anybody. Like, and he's one of the guys that when I was breaking, I was starting to do single matches on the road outside of working as Sean's bodyguard. And sometimes it'd be 1-2-3, sometimes it'd be Virgil. So, me and Virgil put together some good little matches. And that was how I started to actually get my push was Chief J. Strongbow liked our match, like was starting to really enjoy our matches. And he was like throwing shit in to add, and, you know, we were doing it. And he said, I'm going to talk to the Emperor and see if I can't get you guys on Raw. So he talked to Vince, and Vince said, yeah. He gave us six minutes on Raw. I think it was the first time I ever wrestled on Raw and had a decent match with him.
But he was tough in the ring, right? I mean, he wasn't a very smooth worker.
He was, but... It's just we were perfect for each other at that time because we both knew our limitations. You know, I could try to tear his head off, and he was a good enough athlete to duck underneath it and turn around and hit me with some jabs, and we just played cat and mouse, and you know, did the David and Goliath bullshit, and, you know.
Of all people to get the Vincent moniker in NWO. I just thought it was a strange, but maybe because it was strange, it
I
worked.
Thought it was to fuck with Vince.
Well, yeah, but of all people that you could have made the Vince image.
No, because if you think about it, this is exactly the problem that we've had in wrestling since I've been in it, is that there's the African Americans, the black man, they're always just shown, and especially in that era, you know, they were shown in a shitty light. Like, he wasn't that, like, you know.
Oh, well, wasn't the thing, you know, I'm thinking of this now. Virgil was Dusty's name.
Right.
So they made him Vincent, Vince's name. That's what it was. Right? That's why they did it, I think. Or am I inventing this? Okay.
I mean, you hear so many things. All I know that when him and Ted came, it was two more WWF guys.
Yeah.
And fucking people popped.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And like I said, on top of that, I'd rather somebody sit there after I was gone and say, you know what, he was a good fucking dude, than say, yeah, he was a dick, but fucking boy, he could fucking work.
Boy, what an arm bar.
Yeah, what a fucking man that guy.
What an elbow drop.
Yeah, he could really go. It's funny how when you start in this business, you have this. I remember I'd always say, man, like, because you'd sit in the back of a car and there'd be like Black Bart and Dutch and somebody else in the car, and they'd be talking territory talk, and you'd be thinking, and they'd be, you know, Dutch, he was a pretty damn good hand, Bart. Yeah, he was a good hand. I liked working with him. And, So I would always just think to myself, like, I just hope someday when it's said and done and my name comes up in a car and there's some guys in there that have worked with me, they'll say, you know what, man, he was a good worker. Like, he wasn't stiff. Like, that's all I ever wanted, just to be, you know. And then at 64 years old, it's like, no, I want people to think I wasn't like a complete asshole. You know, which I think the people that know me, I don't worry about. You know,
I think we started this whole series with this whole show back, was it 2 years ago? Almost 87 weeks ago. And my stiff one of the week selections, I always tried to find ones that were click centric because people always had things to say about the click. But you're right. It was never anybody that you guys were working with consistently.
Oh. So that was, you know, that, and so much of that shit, like when you see the things on social media, that's interviews or actually you'll see them on YouTube, and you look at it and it's just like some shit from like 91. You know, some guy's fucking spewing about you, and you're like, really? Or somebody that's bringing up something, it's like 2 years ago, and they're bringing up something that happened in 91. Like, jeez, you know, I promise you, I'm not the same person anymore.
Yeah. Well, that must happen too with you, because you go out and you do the conventions and all that stuff. So you run into people maybe that even had a bad opinion or maybe said some shit on a shoot interview. And then if you sit down with them at the restaurant or whatever, it's like a totally different, like they're getting to sit with the person, not the.
Right. And that's the whole thing. I've always said that, just like, I have a very short temper and I go off, but at the same time, it's just like, okay, you know, that's part of my fight. That's a character flaw, but.
You know how you knew Oli? You said, I knew Oli. I knew what to expect from Oli. Same could be said of you, right? Like people that are close to you, you go, that's Kev. That's doesn't mean everything all the time, just kind of a instant reaction. And then, you know, tomorrow's another day. Not for Richard Lewis, though.
No, another one, man.
I'd like to point that out as delicately as possible. I loved Richard Lewis's stand-up first.
Yes.
I was influenced. I did stand-up in actually high school I started, and then in college. And he was one of the guys.
Well, is there a harder gig on earth than that?
Nothing. Nothing in the world.
Nothing
in the world. Because, you know, obviously it's just you are 100% being judged. It's not, you're not hiding behind a song. You're not hiding behind a character. Although, honestly, in my head, you did have to construct a character a little bit to protect.
I always thought, though, that like Steve Martin, though he was brilliant, I mean, he had, it was like the over-gimmicked comic. Because you're not really supposed to be a gimmick or anything. But he had the banjo, the fucking arrow through the head, the half beard. I mean, he was coming at you with a lot of shit in case he fucking didn't come up with anything new since last time he was in Sheboygan.
Yeah. And that's a little bit of protection when you can come out with the arrow through your head. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Lewis was great. Is that he also did, I forgot about this until I read the obituary today. He had a pretty, I want to say successful, but maybe just a couple of years with Jamie Lee Curtis, a sitcom in, I'll put it at like 88, maybe 89, 90, maybe. I forget what it was called, but it was the two of them, like a network sitcom for a while. And then, man, he landed the gig of a lifetime. Being able to improv across from Larry David.
Man. It's as good as it gets.
I've never seen any like making of stuff. I want to know how much is decided before. Probably just like a wrestling match, just the general idea.
Yep. I mean, it's just, it's almost like, so Larry, what's the finish?
Right.
Okay, and let's go to scene one and let's get there.
And just the scenario, it's just to be in a writing room with Larry David.
Could you imagine some of the shit that just pops out of his head?
Oh, yeah.
Because some of the shit that actually makes it on screen is you're just like, wow,
yeah,
that's really pushing the envelope.
Oh, and they did. Like, I don't know how much. I think it's ending this season, or it ended.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is the last episode.
You even go back like 4 or 5 seasons, like into season like 6 or whatever. They're walking a fine line with what you could get away with today in the hypersensitive woke environment.
The Super Dave era is really good.
Yes.
Super Dave was super. Like some of the shit, you know, when Super Dave's kid gets the elbow injury, and, you know, they send the hooker up. And I mean, it's just, I don't know. I really, that's one of those ones is just like, of course it's going away. Because, you know.
Because it works.
Because they're going to start Chicago Psychiatry now as the next Chicago show to be with PD, Fire, Law.
Oh, yeah, sure. Exactly.
Chicago
Therapy.
Yeah, therapy. That way you can have like drug and alcohol therapy. And,
all kinds. Absolutely.
Yeah, perfect.
Do you catch the Jerry Seinfeld comedians in cars getting coffee?
I've watched it a couple of times. It's like Between the Ferns. Like every once in a while, there's one that I really like, and most of the time, it almost feels like it's pushed.
Well, they kind of have to force themselves to be comics talking about comedy, right?
Yeah, you know, it's the opposite of those shows where there's hidden cameras and nobody's supposed to know about it, yet nobody on this earth would fucking act anywhere like 50% of that much of an asshole if they didn't know that there were fucking lipstick cameras all throughout the room.
Mm.
Like, if my entire house was bugged with cameras, there would not be a second that I didn't go, oh, fuck, I forgot.
Yeah.
You know, unless I was sleepwalking. So it's just like.
In the Larry David episode, the two of them are standing. He goes to pick them up, and he shows them the car that they're going to be riding in. And the two of them just start riffing or whatever. They're still standing by the car after like 5 minutes. And Jerry goes, how did we ever get anything done back in the Seinfeld days?
Yeah,
Larry's like, I don't know. God, so that's
what a crew that is.
Oh,
I mean, Seinfeld and Larry David.
Yeah, that's great.
They probably made the most, right?
Money?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not even countable, I bet. Because this is, remember, we're going back in time. This is where the residuals for, DVD, of course, was great. But then when you went into syndication, and I feel like that goddamn show was on 10 times a day on every network possible.
Yeah, I've heard some of the numbers. Didn't they end up having, I thought they did a buyout when it went syndicated.
Oh, for a flat? I didn't know.
Yeah,
could even do that.
Maybe I heard that where, like they, like, because I think it would have been too, or maybe they did it like later on. Somebody see if there's any. Am I just on fucking acid?
Well, I got a figure here. Currently, from Seinfeld alone, Larry David is bringing in 40 to 50 million a year.
Obviously, he's still getting some kind of a check from him.
Larry David negotiated to own 15% of Seinfeld's back-end equity points, which has earned him at least $800 million from the show by 2019. So,
okay. I knew there was some craftsmanship done that I absolutely appreciated.
Yeah, I was going to say that ain't bad. Having 15% of Seinfeld's back end.
I'll take 15%. I'll take 15% of Seinfeld's back end. Pay up, Jerry.
Amazing. But yeah, so that was a sad one. So I was bummed out to see the Richard Lewis thing today. Then I heard Gary Sinise's son, who was like 33, passed away. I think he was ill, but still, 33 is 33.
Fuck, my boy was 26. 33 yeah. is, that's so fucking young. Those are the ones that I don't know. They're all horrible. You know, as you get older, I've said this a couple episodes ago. It used to be you would watch an award show, and they'd go to the people that had passed that year. And you'd be like, watching, you'd be like, I don't know who that is. 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 Oh, yeah. Oh, God, I remember him. Yeah, I know that. It'd be like three of them. Now at 64 years old, you're like, oh, that. It's like fucking who's who of people that you've been entertained by in your life. It's like, wow. And then there's always that one person that's passed, and you already thought they had passed.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
the dead or alive game. What? Abe Vigoda.
Yeah, is
died
he still alive?
A decade after I thought he did.
Yeah, I was like, that's like, those are the ones, Matt, that you just go, fuck, I thought, God, I didn't even know he was alive. And then you look and it's like, oh, God, he hasn't worked in like 6 years. But
is that too insensitive to do for a game next week, dead or alive, with you? If I brought up three names?
Can we get rights to the fucking Jon Bon Jovi song?
Wanted.
Dead or alive.
We'll work on that. Who knows? We get flagged for tasting biscuits for bullshit.
Yeah, God, we'll have to pay $50 million to use Bon Jovi. So. Although he went gray like me, we might feel like kindred souls.
Feedback. Nick Morris was watching us last week, Kevin, and he said, great constructive criticism of raw talent by Big Sexy. So he enjoyed your insight.
I don't know. I don't remember what I said. I do remember I said for Cody not to smile so much. Mm-hmm. But he's going to do it his way. But
You're full of song titles today. I fed you with the Bon Jovi. He's going to do it his way. Silver Bullet said Nash gets blood work done more than Roman Reigns wrestles. That might be true.
And thank God I do, because every once in a while you alter something or do something and you have an immediate feedback from your doctor, and he tells you exactly why your blood numbers went up, because he knows exactly. You tell him what you did to change things, mm-hmm. and he tells you, okay, this changed that because this changes. And you get, when you have your shit dialed, because you're like, I had which for me was subpar, but I caught a virus and I got sick as fuck. I missed it. Didn't we have to do a show later?
Like, oh, my God. You sounded like Jack Klugman in an
fuck,
iron lung.
Man. I just got sick as fuck. And, you know, like, it's one thing when you're 50 and you get sick. When you're 64 and you get sick, it's just like, and you're fucking, like, you're doing like an 11 cough fucking run. Where you're going, am I going to run out of oxygen during this? And so finally I went to my doc, and his daughter's is working with him now as a doctor, and she gives me this horse pill to take.
Mm-hmm. Was it a
it's some antibiotic? It's an antiviral.
Mm.
So I go to the fucking drive-thru, and I'm using CVS now because SAG forced us away from Walgreens, and now we have to go to CVS. And it's just like, if you've been going to the same CVS for 23 fucking years, I mean the same Walgreens for 23 fucking years, and they make you change, and the people don't know. It's like, that's a relationship you want to be on a first-name basis with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Call, get, yeah, I'm coming to pick it up. I'm 3 minutes late, but I want to get this, or I'm going on the road.
Right.
Yeah. So I get it, and I pull away from the window, and right there, there's a stop sign. And from that stop sign, you go on to a pretty busy road that goes over one of the bridges. So I said, fuck it. There was nobody behind me. I said, let me just look at this drug and see what they gave me. So I read it, and it's an antiviral. And it says for the treatment, and it names like four or five different things. Then it has anthrax exposure or bubonic plague.
That's right. I remember you saying that.
And side effects may rupture tendons.
Oh, sure.
I'm like, yeah. bleeding anus when speaking in crowds. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, and my wife's like, are you sure you should take this? I'm thinking, I mean, this ain't no fucking Z-Pack thing. This is right. This is a virus. So
did you take it?
Fuck yeah, I took it. Okay. In 5 days, it was just like I was transported from the Enterprise. Like, okay, you're back on Earth. I was in the gym in 5 days. Wow. I would never thought, you know, when I got sick, I was thinking, oh my God, I'm not going to make it.
You might have had bubonic plague.
I probably did. Some rats. I found some dead rats around my bed.
Hey guys, Eric Bischoff here to talk to you about my friends over at SaveWithConrad.com. Are you looking to get out of debt? Conrad and his team can make that happen faster than me firing the honky-tonk man. Wow. And you know that controversy creates cash, right? Do you know what doesn't create cash? Credit card debt. Save with Conrad can help you consolidate high interest credit cards and all of your other debt into one low monthly payment. They can even help you get the cash you need for home improvements or anything else. They've helped 83 weeks listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. Seriously, your paper's going to go down faster than nitro ratings in 2000. Ouch. And how about this? No house payments for 2 months. That's right. No house payments for 2 months. And unlike the dirt sheets, man, the reviews do not lie. With over 1,000 five-star reviews, find out for yourself how much Conrad and his team can save you by checking out SaveWithConrad.com today. Be grateful you did.
NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. Woo!
Mike Monchuk says, always love and look forward to your weekly couple of hours chatting with two guys navigating through life with your opinions and advice on subjects that are never protected, and the honesty and humanity that you both show through different experiences, truly entertaining. And to this guy means that you are doing a fantastic job. And for that, I can't thank you guys enough. Fantastic experience every week. God bless everyone involved.
I guess,
well, God bless you, Mike Monchuk.
Mike, do you like my new crib? Would you like to come up and pet my bird?
So, are you going to do a new? Are we going to have a new backdrop every week? Is this a thing that we can expect?
Somebody like made a comment a couple weeks ago about that they were my painting was driving them insane.
It is. That's a nice room to look at. I would like to sit in that room. I would like that to be my living room, I think. Gets a lot of light.
Too sterile for me.
Oh, really? That's interesting. I don't like
like that. Doesn't look like leather furniture. The couch behind me we don't do fabric. Mm-hmm. We do leather. Mm-hmm. My allergies, I can't fucking take that shit. Wipe that shit down with Murphy's soap. Right. We have a piano. It's not that dark, but we have a piano in our TV room. Right. Where T would start most of his music. And
I remember
you'd
say, like, you and your wife would be watching TV, right?
Pause
the TV. He'd bang something out and then go back and take the guitar, right?
And the thing was, like, he never, you know, he never, like, put the the key lit on. You know, they just he would just walk right over and just start banging it. You didn't think you didn't know if he was going to go around the corner, because if you would have heard him picking that thing up, you'd have known he was getting ready to play.
Right.
And a lot of times he would play something, and he would like just put the sheet music up on the top of the piano, but he would just stand, you know, and work on something that whatever he was doing, and then he would just take that. He'd write down a couple notes, and he might sit, work that through, and then he'd go back upstairs. You'd hear him working with guitar, like putting something else like the song together.
Right.
But he learned to read and to write music on a piano.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was the first thing. His first 5 years of an instrument. He was a good pianist. And I remember when he was like, I want to say like 10 or 12 years old, and he was just like, "Man, Dad, I don't know if I want to play piano anymore." And I said, "Dude," I said, "one of these days you're going to be in like a ski lodge, and it's going to be like the conditions are going to be too bad for anybody to go out and hit the slopes. And there's going to be a bunch of hot girls in this lodge. And there's going to be a piano. And you're going to come in there and be fucking Burt Bacharach and play that bitch." And I said, "You'll be like, man, I am so glad I stayed with this piano." And he was just like, so the idea was, if he finished his next rehearsal, then he could start playing guitar. Because I bought him a Fender when he was Fender Electric. He might have been 5.
Oh, wow.
I think he was 5. Yeah, he was 5. Because he got that. He might have been, I think he was 5. I think I got it for his 5th birthday.
Was he big young? Because he could.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
When he went through pre-K, you know, he was 4 years old, and his entire class was below his shoulders.
Right.
Wow. I remember some really good friends of ours down here, Peggy and Lewis. Like, I remember, like, Lewis, like, went to watch his daughter play soccer. And he was sitting there, and he says to his wife, he says, "Jesus Christ, man, what the fuck they let that big kid playing for?" Because his daughter was you know, she was tiny.
Mm.
And Peggy says, "No, he's the youngest kid out here." He goes, "How can that be?" And he says, he's Nash's kid. He has no idea who I am. So then I met him at one of the games, and you know, and then it was like 4th of July or something like that, and we invited them because his daughter and T became best friends, like to the day T passed, and he's like, saying like, "Okay, I'll go over on July 4th, but like I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna have in common with this guy. Let's just, you know, hang out for a half hour and say, and just try to like float out of there." Man, me and him were fucking sitting underneath this tent that I had pounded into the beach, like one of those, you know, shade tents.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like 9:30 at night. We're smoking Cubans, drinking beer. I got a portable DVD player down there playing tunes, and his wife comes. She goes, "You ready to go?" And he goes, "Nope." She goes, "Well, the fireworks are going to start." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "We're going to watch them on the roof at their house." And she's like, "Okay, so we're not going." He's like, "Nope." I thought, like, all right, well, that worked out good. He was like, he wanted to be out of here by 4. He's, you know, so. Good times.
Yeah. I see T running, like, when you told me the scene, I see him running on the field, and like everybody, it's like a movie with the high school kid signs up for like the junior team, and he's running around.
I remember one time, just... it was me, Tamara and I were in, I want to think we were in Nordstrom's or Macy's, one of the, like, just like a department store when people actually went to malls. And she was just looking at some like summer dresses. And there was another lady that had a little girl. And this, I would say that the girl was probably five or 6 years old. T was about two. And the girl came over and fucked with him. And T just turned around and like double hand shoved her. Because he was like 2 years old. And the girl like hit on her ass and slid into the round display thing that the shit hangs in. Like, this kid kind of disappears with, like, her fucking half her thighs are fucking showing as T fucking throws her, you know. And she looks at us like, are you not going to fucking discipline your child? And Tamara just looked at her and goes, he's two.
Right.
Like.
Didn't realize.
Now you look at him and he's in matching granimals.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like he's a 2 year old. He's he's barely talking. You know,
the adult small version of the animals.
Yeah,
had to even question that he was like when they at the game when they're like it's Nash's kid and they look over at you and yeah the guy.
No, because I was always I was always on the road.
Oh so right,
he didn't meet me.
Right,
and then I was I was off because they played like Monday. I think they played their games really on Mondays. Of course, Monday with either company, you're not.
It's not a busy night for wrestling.
No, not at all. Never has been. And he was. Boy, that was so long ago.
Yeah, well. Like Sam's.
My wife had a birthday yesterday.
She sure did. I made sure to reach out. I did my.
Thank you. Dom, I talked to Dom. I told my wife that Dom said, hey.
Did she able to do anything or is she's laid up still, right?
No, I mean, we were going to go. This is the honest God truth. We were going to go to Hyde Park.
Okay.
And,
oh, you sure?
Yeah, well, that was the whole thing. Yeah. So, like, two days before we were going to go, I said, so we're going to go to Hyde Park. I'm going to call. And she goes, you know what? She goes, I'm on crutches. It's not that far from valet into the restaurant. She says, I just don't want to get banged and knocked into because, you know, like how we were seated last time.
Yeah, in the tight middle area.
And I said, I'm glad you said that because I didn't want to go into the dissertation of how shitty my last experience was there as I told them they better pick up their fucking game before my grouchy ass gets there. And it's just like we decided, like, let's just cook some steaks out, have a couple of couples over that are friends.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother-in-law came over, my aunt's in town. We just had a chill night at the crib, and that was that.
Very good.
Yeah.
Bob Chimpo says, Bub, I could be having the worst day and pop on your pod and listen to you talk shit for a while, and I'm instantly sitting here smoking, watching, laughing, and commenting. Keep up the push. Keep working. Stay healthy. All right, John.
We haven't given much to. We haven't been shitty to anybody yet today. We got to pick somebody out.
I'm saying, well, maybe there's something coming. You know what? I got to tell you, this week's comments were overwhelmingly positive. You actually tipped me off to that, and then when I went through them to assemble the show,
I said I read them. I said, wow. I said, there's not like one of these that's, you know. I think what's happened, though, and I think that this I could probably, I'm pretty safe in saying this. Let me grab a glass. For those of you that are listening and not watching this, I'm drinking
water.
He's got to
take a swig of his bull semen or whatever the fuck he's drinking this.
Ugh, some fucking water to stay hydrated.
Oh, water. That was something yellow you had over there a minute ago. What was that?
No, that was my colostrum.
Oh, that was
this.
Okay.
I know we don't do an ad for him, but this is what happened.
See, Conrad built a little gimmick in there. You try to hold something up, it zaps it out of the frame.
That's like Claude Rains fucking colostrum.
Convader.
Yes. Now I can't remember the fucking word.
You were about to say that what's happening with our comments.
Oh, so I think that, and especially after, like, if you watch any news at all today on any outlet, like, the Supreme Court is going to sit on their hands on all this Trump shit, and there's not going to be a trial before the election. And there's just no reason to, like, I tell my wife, it's like, you know, somebody brought up something, they were saying how China, you know, they're hacking this and they're hacking that. And it's just like, okay, let's have this conversation. Let's watch this. Okay, us three, not right now. What are we going to do? Fucking nothing. Shut up. You ain't going to do nothing. You don't have the ability to do anything. It's like, if China's going to hack my shit, China's going to hack my shit. So, I could get
a little aura is what you can do to protect yourself.
I'm just saying.
It'd be a great place to work that in. 5 minutes, though.
55, what's the difference?
Phil said, nice comedic timing to end the show, guys. I don't remember what we did, but he liked it.
I just said by Menon.
Oh, okay. Also, I was about to turn off the show, but stopped myself. I hadn't heard Sophie yet.
Thank you.
It's the part of the show. I have to hear it. Then I can say by Menon. Okay, so yes, that was it. All right, Philly Phil. Yep. Pseudonym, Kev. Come on, burying Rocky Horror Picture Show. You have no appreciation for the beauty of a young Susan Sarandon. Even now, chef's kiss. Yeah, hot, pretty hot little monkey back in her day, right? Even now.
Yeah.
Haven't seen her now, but I guess. Oh, you know what I did? Sorry, she played Betty Davis in something on.
It's a while ago, though.
Oh, maybe like 5 years ago, yeah. Well, probably longer, actually, now that I think about it. COVID fucks up my time. When I count back.
She's married to the tall fucker. What's his name? Robbins?
Tim Robbins.
Yeah, they've been married forever.
Yeah. A Hollywood relationship that's working.
Robbins is a big old fucking spoon. He's like 6'5 or 6'.
Massive. I ran into him in the Duarte building in the city one time, and he is really, well, I mean, to you, whatever. But he's a tall dude.
Do you want to bang him?
What's his name? I blew the joke already. I'm not going to go for it. Saturn Boy. Hey, guys. I felt it when Kev said it's been a long week. My wife's been in the hospital here in Cleveland after a successful open heart surgery. I just wanted you guys to know that part of my solace in taking a breather has been listening to the show through the week when I have downtime at the hotel at night. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for the laugh when I need the most. She's going home tomorrow. That's good to hear.
Yeah, it was.
I think you commented on that, didn't you?
I think I commented back on that. I actually commented back like to a couple of people on. I actually typed comments to them on the.
Nice to not be taking it in the rear every once in a while, looking at the comments.
But then there's still some people that have some just. It's just. I just wish people could just understand that. Even though I might say, I can't believe they're fucking that stupid. Like, that's just a term. That doesn't mean that I don't value your opinion. You know?
It's presented. I've written people back and read people here that said, okay, you respectfully are disagreeing and pointing out your thing. Yeah.
You know, when they say that we're so, you know, we're so far left, I'm like,
oh my God.
We're not far left.
Fucking people in my life that are far left. Say, well, so just, why don't you just call yourself a Republican then? Well, why do you go through and say you're a registered Democrat? And then here I get the other side. So.
Right. I'm the same way. It's just like, yeah, you're the gun-toting, you know, our gun-toting Democrat.
It's just some things that are important, that are primarily important to somebody, and they may fall on the left or right, so we tend to talk about them a lot. You know what's important to me, Kevin? Not
Mitch McConnell quitting?
No, how that didn't... You think we might have been tipped off to that when they kicked out his plug twice this year? Smelling good. Keeping my body fresh is as important as all these things we're talking about to me. And listen, warmer weather, we're getting here. We're getting a spring. It's coming. You already hit an 80 degree day this week, did you say?
Yeah, we're 80. It was 83 today when I was in my car.
Right. Well, you know what warmer weather brings? Funky crotch. Okay. So if you grab some Mando whole body deodorant, nip body odor in the bud. Put it on your pits, on your package, feet, and beyond for whole body freshness. They're the makers of Lumi deodorant. Mando, it's clinically proven to work hard all day. I use it. Kev uses it. Kev was using the wipes, the sheets.
I actually put I put a sheet each in a really stinky pair of sneakers that they're leather, so I can't wash them. And but I took the insoles out. And got new insoles, but it was like, there's still something going on there. I put a sheet in each one, put them out in the sun, took those sheets out, and didn't have to throw the sheets away. I actually left one of the sheets behind my passenger seat.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't, just to kind of give it some little, I mean, it's a good product.
It's a good product, man. I love it.
Like I said, there's nothing better in the world than when you're a pro wrestler and you're on the road 30 days in a row and you go to a radio station and they actually give you a t-shirt that fits and it's cool enough to wear. It's like you get like a new shirt. That's what this was. We get a product. We're going to talk about it. It's going to be something that, you know, we hope is going to be a sponsor, and it's like, oh shit, like, and the product's good.
Home
like,
run, right? Yeah.
And but that's like, it's like, I know we don't do an ad for AG1 anymore, but my wife just got re-up with AG. It's like, when we push things and you can tell it's being like, if it's something we use, it's like there's a difference, exuberance. Most of the time, this is a great product.
Absolutely, and the shoe thing is, that's a whole other aspect of it that I didn't even consider.
Yeah, I don't know. I got that from maybe from the ghost of my mom. I don't know where the fuck that came from.
Well, Mama Nash loving her some Mando. So it's a whole body deodorant, guys. You take a look at that package there. It take a look at the package for your package. There's the cream. There's the stick. There's the, I forgot the body wash. The body wash I use in the shower currently. I ripped through my stick. I got to order another one of those. Listen, guys, it's created by a doctor. He saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed, mistreated. Mando whole body deodorant is powerful enough for the toughest body odor, but gentle enough to use everywhere, allowing Mando on the family jewels without any worry, because it is aluminum free, baking soda free, cruelty free, dye free, vegan, and clinically proven to control body odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average man's grundle odor level was 5 out of 10. With Mando, the average grundle odor is a 0 out of 10. Take my word for it. Get that starter pack, too, with all those ingredients in it there. Luckily, I have a discount code now I'm going to impart on you to get hooked on our favorite-smelling whole-body deodorant on the market. New customers get $5 off a starter pack with the exclusive code. Go do it. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack. Use code CLICK, K-L-I-Q, at shopmando.com, shopmando.com. It's time to smell better naked. Your partner will thank you. And I should also tell people that we have a live audience here. They get the show early. They get special stuff. We've been putting some Kevin appearances from Kayfabe commentaries, which you can go get the whole catalog at the KC Vault on YouTube. But join us here every week, guys. Ask the questions. Watch the shows. Join us for off-screen Jeez. Banter. Go to click this. Go to HTTP /://HTTP. Click this TV.com. Okay, and that's how you can be part of this. I got the Wesley pretext for the URL in there. It's clickthistv.com. Kev, I read an article that Seth Rollins was speaking and said he's open to pulling double duty at WrestleMania. He's talking about what's going on, the positioning for the main event spot and all the angles that are up in the air. And I'll read the actual quote. He said, "I don't know how the cards are going to fall. I don't know which way the chips are going to go. I'm open to doing whatever is going to be the best, right? Whatever is going to be the biggest thing we can possibly do," which is a cool thing. But my initial reaction was, can we keep a little bit of kayfabe? Do we have to talk about it? Like, does the talent involved have to talk about it? Like, you know, whatever's best for the storyline, best for the company. Can we try to stay invested a little bit? We were talking about how it was great that we're all watching again because it's a very shooty thing that they were doing with The Rock. I read this and I was like, yeah, I felt kind of like when these guys would start going on TV in the 90s and talk about, like Jay Leno, and talk about their character. I was a little right. Do we have to do that? Like, we're suspending this belief. We know the fucking deal. It's not the movies. It's not Tom Cruise talking about his character. We want to believe a little bit. But so I got a little annoyed at this.
For me, Drew has like ratcheted it up the most. Because think about it, like, you know, 6 weeks ago we were sitting there going, how does he get the giant sword from town to town? And it's just, and then the next thing you know, he's like, I'm not fucking CM Punk, and then he sits down Indian style and, you know, he says, don't be looking up my skirt. And I'm just like, I actually, like, this is Drew. Like, Drew for the first time is playing Drew.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he's not the Scottish lad. He's fucking Drew. He just happens to be born and raised in Scotland. Anytime they tried to do that, I used to love when Sheamus was just Sheamus.
Yeah.
You know, he was a big, rough. I mean, you looked at Sheamus, he was one of those guys where you thought, this would be somebody in a bar fight that would just be throwing, just clubbing hands at you. And he's got big, thick joints. Like, he's strong as fuck. You know, I thought he had a really great run, Sheamus.
Yeah, he did. But even if someone's doing something charactery, Bray Wyatt, right? When they first came in with the family and stuff, thought it was great how they handled it. I enjoyed it. That whole like quasi Texas Chainsaw family they were doing. But I don't want to see him or read about him talking about the character.
I think that's what killed Braun. Braun was like this big giant guy, and he was part of that family. And he was, you know, and then he got in shape, but there's nothing wrong with that. But he all of a sudden got on social media, and he's a really, really nice guy. Mm-hmm. So he's shooting guns. He's singing karaoke. He's cooking red meat. And no, I mean, and he knows what he's doing when he's cooking. So he becomes this I don't want to watch Bourdain wrestle. You know, I want to watch, like, I want my guy to be a pro wrestler, and that's what he does because that's what I'm watching.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the baby faces can get away with it a little bit, but I don't know. I think,
it's always, I thought it was always I thought it was always, you know, think work, or, you know, think shoot, then work.
Right, right.
You know, you think of it like, okay, what, in a shoot interview, because all you want is, it's the same as when you work. When you work, like, you can see, you'll see guys go out there and do all those high spots, and people will pop and everything else. But when two guys, and it looks like they're grinding it out there and they're getting into it, people will go from sitting back to doing just like this. Mm. That's when you know you have the people. That's when you know that they don't see that all of a sudden they don't see the fucking boom mic in the shot.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And that's what you want. You want that realism. You want that. And I like that, you know.
I agree 100%.
And if you're going to be that nitpicky and make those comments, then you can't get cut off by somebody else's music and not make reference to the fact that that's so annoying. I mean, even though I knew it was going to happen, that's so annoying to be cut off. We do it all the time. That's just a way, that's kind of a segue shot that we do. And, like, God forbid then if this is, we're going to make it more shooty, just when the guy's music hits, just keep your promo going. Right. Just don't fucking stop. Don't pay any attention to him. Just do what you're doing. See how that, because, you know, like I said, the number one thing you have to make your wrestling promotion work is you have to have universal rules. In our universe of pro wrestling, these are the can and cannot do's. And you can't have two guys playing by different rules than everybody else. So you either got to get aboard what's working. You can't make the statement as I'm down with
whatever direction they want to go.
Whatever direction, because I'm down for what's best for his biggest. Guess what? What's working is what's working. So let's not fucking argue about.
I was just going to say, they have lightning in a bottle right now for the first time in however many years. Don't step outside of the bottle right now.
I got tired Monday night, and I haven't watched the main event yet with Cody from Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I actually, like, tonight I'll have Sports Center, and I'll have that. There's two things to watch, and I'll try to find. I'll probably watch a little bit of news, since I've watched very little news today.
Well, if you catch some news, you might catch some more wrestlers talking about Sting's retirement. I saw Paul White spoke with Sports Illustrated. He said, somebody has to cook and somebody has to eat. And Sting taught me that core philosophy. I learned that my first job in a match is to get my opponent over, then get the match over. That's point A and point B. If you do that right, you'll automatically get yourself over. That's not you do your stuff, I'll do my stuff. It's bigger than you. Some guys only take care of themselves, and good for them. But the guys I respect most are the ones who make people better in the ring. That's someone like Ric Flair. He has to be mentioned. So does Sting. I couldn't have asked for a better influence early in my career. Who else weighed in? I know Darby Allin, reflecting on his time with Sting. And he said, when he first was introduced to him by Cody, he said, an hour before the show, Cody pulled me aside. He was like, all right, Sting's here. I want you to meet him before you go out there. Then he walked me over to Sting's trailer. It happened so fast, I barely had time to remember how nervous I was. But there was nothing to be nervous about. We started talking through the segment, and it was actually wild. There was no ego from him, no big timing, no, this is how it's going to happen, kid, none of that. If anything, it was the other way around. He was asking me how it's going to happen, and if I was okay with this and this and this, and everything was cool. We're talking about a guy who's headlined some of the biggest shows ever, made shitloads of money, been on top longer than I've been alive. It's insane how is Sting so nice? So, Kev, that was all in the news. So, Kevin on Sting.
Oh, I mean, go ahead. You know, you always remember, I talked earlier about Mike Rotunda, but Steve always would throw a rollaway bed in his room, and he'd let me sleep on it for free. He was good to me, you know. Like him and Lex sometimes would pick up lunches when we're on the road because they're making cash and I wasn't. But you know, the guys that are the partiers hang out together, and the guys that go to the gym hang out together. And you know, they were the gym guys, and on top of that, when I broke into the business, I trained at Lex and Steve's gym, Main Event Fitness in Atlanta, and my wife did also. So he was our star when I was there the first time. Mm-hmm. He was like, I consider, I mean, Flair was, I mean, he was his foil, but Steve was by far the number one guy. So he was, you know, but he was never, you would have never known it. Like he's always been very humble. He's always been very kind.
You never heard, I mean, obviously he's a clean liver. I can assume his liver was clean, but he lives cleanly. Never heard about him getting in trouble, right?
No, but I mean, there's two Stings. There's the Sting now, and there's the Sting before Sting found Christ. So there's another Sting that was, they'd like to have, it wasn't insane, but I mean, he's never been a stupid ass. Mm-hmm. He's always been smart, but like he partied a little harder. You know,
yeah. Okay. I've never heard road stories about him.
No. Well, he was always really smart. You know, if he was going to have cocktails someplace, it would be at a Marriott that he was staying at.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wasn't going to be driving up and down the road drinking beers, and
mm-hmm.
just wasn't that kind of guy.
So it'll be Sunday, right? The final match will be.
Yep.
Actually, people will be listening on Monday, so it will have happened yesterday.
Yes, I will be watching. And the thing is, on top of that, it's just, you know, right now in my life, people are like, oh, he's, you know, they're telling me he can't do it. I just, man, I just went and did a little small signing for a friend of mine up in Buffalo, sports signing. Jack Morris was there, which was kind of a highlight. I've never met Jack Morris before. Jack Morris was our star pitcher in '84 when the Tigers.
I was going to say, who the hell is Jack Morris?
He won fucking two World Series with the Twins.
Yeah, that's baseball.
'93, he was the World Series MVP. I didn't realize he had grown up in Southfield. He's actually a Michigan boy, so that was kind of cool. It was nice. Lawrence Taylor was there, but I didn't get a chance to see him. We just were kind of. He was earlier in the morning on Saturday, and then I came afterwards, because this is like you're only out in front of the public for like an hour, and then. You go in and then vendors ship, you know.
Private signing stuff?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then you just have it's cool.
Well.
But it was very, they're very downscale from what a Comic-Con is as far as just the masses. And It was everything my circuits could take, because I haven't been out for a month. It was like, and then the airport was just. I hate when it we go from winter to like summer in a day, because either they know it's coming and you get on the plane and it's like -7, or they've come from Minneapolis and the plane's like 250. You know, like everything's off. The Atlanta.
What was it in Buffalo when you got off?
12?
Oh, time. I meant temperature. What?
No, it was 12.
12 degrees?
The next night, it was feels like 7.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. But I want to think that. I think that day, that the high was 32, 34 on Friday. And it was like 12 or 14 when I got in. It was 12 o'clock at night when I got in, but it was.
12 and 12.
Yeah, it was fuck.
Yeah, we're getting like 50 degrees here now. I'm like, all right, bring it on.
And right behind, like I saw where Chicago and Detroit and everybody was getting like good weather today, and then right behind it is like tornadoes and hailstorms, and I'm like, oh, go ahead and let everybody fucking stick their head out now, and here comes, you know, a pile of shit right behind it. It's like I today it was so gorgeous, but my wife, you know, she's been having some issues with the hip that she operated on, so crazy story. The girl that did my rehab here in Daytona Beach, when I tore my quad, like once I got out of Birmingham, and so it was like 3 months after, or was it three? Probably 2 months. I was in Birmingham for 2 months, and I came back, and then she started rehab. But she's like really great soft tissue person, you know. She like. So, and that's what I knew my wife needed, because like Tamara does Pilates, so she's strong, but it was just like she had shit that, because her hip had got injured, she was walking like on it, like half ass. So her biomechanics were off and everything else. So this lady worked on her today, and it was just like, but I walked into the liquor store, and this lady said to me, she said, you know, ask her a couple of questions. And then this lady walks into her physical therapist and says, I ran into this big, tall, giant guy at the liquor store the other day. His name's Kevin. And she went, Kevin what? She goes, I think it's Nash. And she was just like, and I haven't seen her in 17 years. Hmm. So I said to her, I said, when will you see the lady at the liquor store? I said, when will you see her again? And she said, I'll see her like next week. I said, I took a business card and I wrote my number on it. And I said, have her call me. Because I was looking, you know, it was great to see her. You know, like the last time I saw her, she was married a lawyer, but they were single. And now she's got a 17-year-old kid. So just like, wow.
Yeah.
But anyway, she worked on Tamara today. So that was good that we found somebody here in town. And they take our insurance. Yay.
You just can't go to Walgreens for any scripts you might.
No, I got to go to CVS. Screen Actors Guild said so.
Well, if you need any further evidence other than the change in pharmacy that the country is falling apart, the most idiotic statement on bump stocks on rifles was uttered by Justice Brett Kavanaugh today. All right, so
he's still alive?
He's there. So the bump stocks, for anyone who doesn't know, it allows, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, you're more a gun guy, it can convert like a semi-automatic rifle to fire far more rapidly than it would normally be able to, right? So no purpose for that. You're not shooting a deer with that. The sole purpose is to mow down people with that kind of gun, or you'd stand.
Yeah, it makes it a more efficient assault rifle.
Right. So the under Trump, there was the machine gun ban, right? So he said in talking about being concerned that the bump stock law would ensnare Americans who weren't aware of it. Okay, quote, even if you're not aware of the legal prohibition, you can be convicted, Kavanaugh told the attorney representing the Biden administration. That's going to ensnare a lot of people who are not aware of the legal prohibition. So your justification for not making a law is that the people who aren't aware that it's a law might get caught doing it.
Would that be
what
like
the...
would that be like, say, if you'd never heard about paying taxes?
Anything, murder, like, I mean, any law, if you're not aware of it, that might be a problem. So let's
I don't think, I mean, when you're dealing with a group that actually took on and listened to, like right now the Supreme Court is, since Bush-Gore, I think they're like, their popularity is like down 25%. Like they just like...
The
like,
court, yeah.
Yeah, there's nobody, you know, like, you know, they're giving that Fannie... what's her name? Fannie Willis?
Oh, in Georgia, yeah.
In Georgia. Yeah, they're giving all this shit. I saw a thing on Instagram that says, so you guys are worried about a $100 dinner? How about we talk about one of the many Clarence Thomas, you know...
Plane rides or...
Half a million dollar vacations. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you guys can't say anything about anything. And, you know, so Trump's defense says that, you know, once you're president, you have complete parole. Like you're paroled from everything. You can't be arrested for anything.
Or his immunity argument.
It's complete immunity. You just
and they're hearing this. They're going to waste their time. It's the most ridiculous thing.
But the thing is that the person stood up and said, like, so what you're saying is if the president wasn't impeached and he had SEAL Team 6 kill his political nemesis, that he could not be found, you know, guilty of anything.
Right.
Because he had immunity as president. So they actually stopped Smith's proceedings until they hear this, and it probably won't have an answer till like April.
Yeah.
So they're doing everything they can to make sure that you know that nothing of any significance. And I really think, like, personally talking to a lot of people, I think that the sense and sensibilities of the American people, I just really still have faith in us as a country. And I would hate to be proven wrong, but I really think, man, that we've always been a democracy. I think that that's the most important thing, that we stay a democracy, that you and I can have this conversation and people that are listening to us have the right to listen to us, and we can voice our opinions. And I think that's so important, just to have discourse as human beings. I would rather sit in a room with four people that I absolutely had nothing in common with and have a conversation or discussion or an argument than not be able to speak at all.
Well, if you can, unless you're Nancy Pelosi's husband who opens the front door and you know, that happens. So debatable.
That was a GoFundMe.
Right. We have that.
GoFundMe gone bad.
And in the country's falling apart category, we can bring up Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith. Republican senator from Mississippi, who today blocked the quick passage of a bill on Wednesday afternoon that would have enshrined protections for in vitro fertilization. This was in response after the Alabama Supreme Court warned that the disposing of unused embryos could be categories of wrongful death. So Tammy Duckworth of Illinois requested to pass the bill by unanimous consent, meaning any one senator could block it, and she did.
But shouldn't just the common sense law of if it's a human being, you can't freeze it, but an embryo you can freeze?
Well, that's the whole debate of when does life start? So, and that's, there's never going to be an answer to that.
Well, there's no, you can't, you have to fertilize the egg.
Well, but so like, all right, so let's take an example. If three of a woman's five embryos, okay, are deemed non-viable, right? So they put a bunch in the petri dish, and two are you're going to be able to have a birth with two, and then they say the other three are not going to be able to make it to term. Today, if you're not in Alabama or wherever the fuck, you can implant the two and they discard the three. What they're saying is you'd have to implant the ones that will die, because you can't discard them. And so she would have had to endure, this woman would have to endure three miscarriages, because you couldn't discard the ones that were not going to be viable for birth. This is where we are now.
And the thing is, if they're deemed what's the difference between, like, they give mercy abortions where, like, the kid's not going to survive. Like, they do have those in a lot of states that have absolutely no pro-choice voice whatsoever, you know.
Well, would this open a door to that discussion, though, or debating that now?
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. We don't have more shit going on than that.
I'll tell you what I got going on. The Tap Out. This week's Tap Out. It's going to be brought to you this week by Rocket Money, our friends at Rocket Money. Oh, God, Rocket Money. Saving people money by the day. Do you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, this happened to me. I thought I had, the basic ones, that my streaming channels, my handful, like five streaming channels, and I know I have the satellite radio. Like, those are the ones you think of, but you don't think of the ones that have been charging you, that you have been using for 10 years. The fitness apps, we have delivery services, and everything is subscription-based. So Rocket Money is the answer for folks. RocketMoney.com/Nash is where you can go to get your finances in order. Okay. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Okay. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million. That's an actual figure, in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Okay, this can happen to anybody. You're not being neglectful. We're just in a time now, guys, where we have so many subscriptions and so many recurring services. Okay, stop wasting money on things you don't use. Take control of that monthly bill. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Nash. Go there. Tell us what you've been canceling. Let us know. Post it on social media. We'll talk about it. That's rocketmoney.com/NASH. Rocketmoney.com/Nash. It's the real deal, guys. And
I just want to tell you, as I was listening to you do that ad, this background has completely, it's weird.
It's classed up the show a little bit, I feel.
Yeah, Well, I'm just saying though that when I feel like it's we're not doing our show.
Like I'm sitting around sipping wine in the chalet, I feel because I'm
so used to having the background that I do that and I'm at work, to whereas this here just I've had a conversation tonight where I'm like sitting in my living room.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's crazy how just this backdrop can change things.
We've invited the audience into your living room, Nat. Ladies and gentlemen,
Can I say one more thing?
You can say it's your fucking show.
The guys were talking about. We were talking about Thomas earlier from the Supreme Court.
Clarence, yes.
And Wesley said, "Did you guys see the shot? What's his name?
Ernest Borgnine. No. John Oliver.
Yeah, John Oliver. I couldn't think of it.
Easy name to forget.
Yeah. Well, I knew it was Oliver because, I knew it was, whatever. So.
What did he say?
He offered Thomas $1 million to walk away from the Supreme Court.
I saw that.
And then, like, a $2.5 million sweet-ass, like, RV. And he had it, he had money there. He had the RV there. Like, he had this whole package and told him to walk away. And, I mean, the first time I ever watched him was when he did the thing on wrestling and how we should, like, we were 1099s and what a load of shit it was. So, like, that was the first time I ever watched him because somebody smarted me up. And then since then, like, he's really pretty brilliant.
I didn't know he did a segment about that, about the independent contractor nature of
wrestling.
Oh, he
did a whole thing on wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he wasn't very nice.
He was probably right.
Isn't a million? Wesley's in $1 million a year for life. Where else Oliver can get that money at? I guess once he gets him out of office, we're good, right?
It's like that Mike Lindell guy with the pillow. Did you see he offered $5 million to anyone who would debunk his 2020 election claims? And a guy did it, and he's trying to collect. He's taking him to court now. He's like, it's been debunked. I sent the email first. Before the court case, here, give me the $5 million. Hope he gets it.
Yeah, he had that was a rough. It seems like everybody that's got involved in it. I mean, you can't tell me when you watch Donald Trump that he's not selling the fact that he's going to have to come up with a half a bill. I mean, it's coming,
yeah.
And. He has to. I think he's got to the. What they give 31 days after it was passed, that he has to.
He has to start paying or interest accrues after the first month.
No, it's $101,000 or $102,000 a day right now.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to continue accruing until it's paid.
Yeah, yes. Until it's paid. No, as I said, it's $100K a day, so. I don't know who I was watching. It was Ari or whoever it was. It's just like, I don't know if I like the idea of having our president owe somebody a half a bill. You know?
Well, our country owes $3 trillion.
Yeah, that's our country.
It would be consistent.
That's our country.
Dude, I want to be excited about an election. I want two good candidates.
You know what?
I trade these two in.
Did you happen to see fucking Biden on Seth Meyers?
No.
See, I saw that, and I saw it like the next night, and it was like, how did the fucking Democratic fucking party not get this out where everybody on earth is seeing it? because he's actually he comes across like, yeah, Joe's okay, and there's a lot of times where I just look at it and it just looks like he's been hit by the invisible fucking freeze gun.
Shit, man, when I'm 80, if you're flying me all over the world in the course of a day, throwing me in front of 7 press conferences, talking to 4 leaders, and I don't know what I'd be like. Doing the show sometimes, I feel like I'm a mumbling, stuttering idiot.
I am. I know I am.
Because I'm exhausted by this hour.
But I don't think Joe took as many bumps as I did either, so no. Fuck you.
We saw a few of the bumps.
That face forward. All he's doing is fucking copycat and fucking Flair's
the
last.
The Flair or the Greg Valentine.
The last call.
All right, well, Kevin, it's time for, ladies and gentlemen, William Shatner. William Shatner and Lin Yu Chun. Enjoy.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you'll never call me round.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening.
Does it feel like a dream yet?
Turn around.
I'm waiting for Shatner to turn into a wooden Indian. Stop.
He's the best.
God, I really thought that Shatner would be able to pull that off. That was something that he.
How old is William Shatner right now? It's
however,
a shocking number.
However old he is the most clear-headed fucking... I mean, I wish.
Shatner 2024, how about it? Shatner and Yun Chun Fat, or whatever the hell he is. No. 92.
He's too old.
92. Florida Man or Jersey guy returns this week after a break. 2 headlines.
I just want to say, though, that if Biden sang that badly, it wouldn't matter if he was 90 or 100 or fucking 40. So
he might have done a better job.
I think he might honestly. Have.
One real headline from a Florida man, one real headline from a Jersey guy. Kevin uses his intuitive powers to decipher. First headline.
Actually, this is my logistical being of... living the Florida life.
Well, you spent a lot of time working up here, and then you've seen a lot of Jersey guys around. Florida men around you.
Yeah, I definitely spent a shitload of my life in the Northeast.
73-year-old man credits Apple Watch for saving his life, and 150 live bugs removed from man's nose.
That's a no-brainer. I mean, I think only the Mall of Millennia could you get a fucking Apple Watch to.
Got to go all the way to Orlando for that?
Yeah. An Apple Watch is just like. I don't even think like if you went like this and had an Apple Watch on at a bar down here, they'd be like, "Is that a swatch? What you got there, boy?"
Look at that space age thing he strapped to
his
wrist.
Yeah, you got there, boy. It's like these people that do that shit, and they say, "Yeah, I did 12,000 steps yesterday."
Yes, the counting of the steps.
What the fuck?
Well, I think you're gonna. So go ahead, give it to me. I want it to be official.
Okay, the bugs, fucking somebody in Pinellas County, and fucking the Apple Watch. Somebody in, I don't know.
If you were going to say Lawrenceville, New Jersey, you'd be correct. A retired accountant was asleep next to his wife, and his alarm went off on his watch. And the alert said that his heart rate was reading 30. A normal pulse is between 60 and 100 heartbeats per minute. So it was 30 per minute. So they threw him in an ambulance, rushed him to the hospital, and shockingly, they said he had no symptoms, he said. He didn't feel lightheaded. His chest didn't hurt. It felt like nothing was wrong, but ended up having to get a pacemaker after having what they called a...
I thought you were going to tell me he had 150 bugs in his nose.
It's a different... It's the, that's the Android that does okay. that. This the okay. Apple takes care of your heart. And then, yes, our friend in, well, let's see what county it is. You guessed Pinellas. Let's see where we're going here. Well, this was in Jacksonville. On February 16th, a man had 150 live bugs pulled out of his nose. A man who underwent the procedure is wishing not to be identified. But 30 years ago, he had a neuroblastoma, which removed a cancerous tumor in his nose and left him with an extremely compromised immune system. Over the course of a few hours, his face became extremely swollen. He started getting nosebleeds. Couldn't even get up to go to the bathroom without his nose starting to bleed. Went to the HCA Florida Memorial Hospital. And the person
what did
the
do?
Examination...
Shop back those motherfuckers.
He said, I see movement when he looked in there. They took a camera, looked in the nose when things dramatically changed. Dozens and dozens of bugs alive and feeding on the inside of the patient's nose and sinus cavity. Size-wise, there were variations, but the larger ones were as big as the end of my pinky. I knew I was in trouble. There was erosion that was occurring near the skull base, very close proximity to his eye and his brain. Dr. Carlson immediately tried to remove the bugs with suction, but it clogged the suction. There were so many large bugs, they couldn't get them with suction. They ended up having to remove them one by one using different instruments. 150 goddamn bugs, one by one.
And this guy, like, this couldn't have happened like over the course of like an hour or
no,
so.
No, it was...
This guy has,
he wasn't hunting and went, I got something.
Yeah, this fucking, in there. This guy with, you know.
The visual on this is unbelievable. Steve, if you have, if you can go into my link just for
he
a minute.
He put fucking peat moss up his nose. No.
If anyone, so maybe rotting bacon from breakfast or something. Or, if everyone wants to see something that they can't unsee, Steve, go ahead bring up that shot there. 150 of them, though, which means they counted, which is impressive. I would go for my. Oh, is this the? There you go. There's some.
Oh, they're like maggots.
Yeah, in some in the larval stage. I guess that's the doctor that was treated to having to pull them out. That was the only shot, I guess. I don't know. There's some video in that article there in the link I have. But I think we got enough of Dr. Carlson. Thank you, Dr. Carlson. If ever, Kevin, if your nose ever begins to bleed uncontrollably, Dr. Carlson is right in Jacksonville waiting for you.
Outstanding.
Or any other orifice in your body, for that matter.
God, I just... What kind of a habitat did you come from that brought that larva with you out of your... sinus cavities.
Well, I'm just wondering, because they mentioned the surgery, right? So I'm just wondering if something... Why would the surgery have caused an attraction to these many bugs?
No matter what, I mean, it's just like... Anything. Like, if you put one of those in your nose, if you have a... Have a one of those. I remember, like, you get them when you're a kid. We used to call them bobbers, and it gets like a booger in your nose every time you breathe. It goes in and out.
There's an image, like, by the way, a shot of in the man's nose.
God, man, that's looks like fucking kimchi.
Kamala's manager.
Ooh. No, if you had one of those larvae in your nose, it would, gosh.
Could you not, like, blow it out, maybe?
Not that many. at that point, like, fucking, like, there's layers of them. Like, you must be, there's something going on. You're not just sitting there going, oh, wow, these are accumulating.
You think he was like a desperate coke addict that, like.
Maybe he was somebody that was ridden in a paralyzed in a chair someplace in a nasty environment. And they just crawl up him and go up and they just finally somebody came in to check on him. They're like, holy fuck.
I don't know. I want to say it was
rather,
a drug
I
thing.
I would rather go with that one because that has way more of a kind of a true detective feel to it. So,
Steve, can you confirm that Ozzy Osbourne snorted ants with a straw when he was out of coke one time? I feel like that I might have heard at one point. We'll let everybody know when we come
Steve,
back.
Steve did just say he was 92 years old.
That was Shatner.
Oh. So that was Shatner that had the bugs. Holy fuck. No wonder he couldn't sing. He fucking had 150 bugs in his fucking sinus cavity.
Could have put a Spock's ear up his nose. Yes, Ozzy Osbourne has claimed to have snorted ants. There you go.
Says right here, too, that occasionally he'll inhale an uncle.
All right, this high spot of the show brought to you by our friends Mickey Ray, Sinatra, and Courtney. Mickey, he is so fine. He's so fine, he gets me high. Hey, Mickey, get Blitz Lit Aid. What is it? It's nano-infused Delta-9 THC sip and syrup. If you've tried this, you know that this is super potent stuff. It's THC on steroids. It's a syrup. A teaspoon is all you need. It's THC. It's the real deal. The same THC in marijuana, but it's legal in this form. Goes into your drink. Teaspoon is all you need. Put it in some tea. Put it in a lemon-lime beverage, like my friend Kevin does, a sugar-free, mind you. Fast onset. You're going to feel this within 5 to 15 minutes, okay? Nano-infused means it goes right to your bloodstream. It bypasses the breakdown in the liver, so this happens right away. If you're in Maryland, you could go visit a Stay Lit smoke shop, but for the rest of us, we've made this very easy. It's legal to ship right from the Get Blitzed website to all 50 states without a med card, as long as you're over 21. And right now, you can save 15% by entering the code CLICK, K-L-I-Q, at checkout. Go to get-blitzed.com. That's get-blitzed, B-L-I-T-Z-E-D.com. Try the Delta-9 THC sip and syrup that all of our fans are doing. Get it and chill. Listen to your favorite podcast. Click this at home.
I just saw where Florida legislation is going to try messing with this.
Oh, the okay. So, guys, you got to get it now. Stock up, too.
Yep.
Get a bunch.
They were going to attack the 8 and 9. I'm thinking, like, of course.
The deltas, yeah.
Of course they're going to come after. And the thing was is like they were talking last night on the news, and it's like this it could cost like $400,000 worth of jobs, like pulling that, you know.
They're going to toy with, they're going to tinker with it till it gets to the point where legalization comes up. They just want to tax the hell out of it, is what they want to do.
That's all. It's 35% off the top.
Yeah,
but how do you take? How does the Fed take 35% of them of a country of a company's profits? Yet you cannot put your money in their federal bank accounts.
Let's see. Too Hard and Fierce reporting the Delta 8 bill went through, but the caps on THC did not. So I don't know. So I guess it's still legal to do, guys. Go do it. Get-blitz.com. Go get your stuff. All right. Ask Nash.
I just saw it last night. I don't know how it's already been determined in Florida. Was that today's hearing?
Too Hard and Fierce, let us know, one of our live listeners, which you could be too by going to clickthistv.com. Sit in our virtual audience here next to Too Hard and Fierce. See if he is Too Hard and Fierce. Reach over. See what's going on downstairs. Let us know, Too Hard. Jared Finelli participated in the hashtag Ask Nash. He said, after the Duke Wake game, what are your thoughts on court field storming? If the schools and conferences don't stop it, do the players have the right to sue if they're injured? the players could have some expectation of safety from fans while on the court.
I get it, but at the same time, it's just like, it's almost like the guy from Duke, the 7-footer from Duke, like didn't realize that there was a chance with several hundred people charging at him that he may get hit. Like, I remember one time I was with Tamron T, and we were, this is when, before they built the permanent 9/11 memorial, and there was the girder that's in a cross was out front of this, and it was just like in a kind of a makeshift, it was very makeshift, and like it was right across from that little church that got burnt. Mm-hmm. And you know, to go back up to where to Midtown, we had to go through Wall Street, and Wall Street let out, and they were going to that elevated train that's right there, and we were walking the opposite way, and these guys were all looking down at their phones, and I'm like a bitch, I'm dodging them, and then finally I said, fuck that, man. I saw a dude about 6'4", 6'5", blue suit. Man, I put a fucking shoulder into him, and he went down, and fucking it was like this guy from Duke. Like, all of a sudden, like, nobody walked anywhere near any, and I just had Tamron T get behind me. And I just walked. I didn't have to fucking hand check anybody. It was just like there was a ripple in the force, and they knew, like, like, all right, we got fucking King Salmon swimming upstream here. But I just said, fuck that. I didn't want my wife and my son getting plowed over.
No, of course.
So, I mean, you know, and it's that's a lot. You know, I mean, that many people coming, and it's so.
And from all directions, it's so chaotic when they rush the court like that. The football field, you have more space.
Yeah.
But a basketball court is not big.
No, 54. Is it 92 by 54?
Yeah, and you have 8,000 people in the stands or whatever, a college game. Shit, those
are more. Yeah, I mean, that Duke is a smaller, but you at least got 8,000 people minimum.
Yeah. I'm talking like the bottom rung that can get down. Yeah. Mark Ashworth says, was there a particular reason you weren't in Ready to Rumble? Seems like that would have been a no-brainer, really.
Yeah. So they weren't paying anybody anything extra to do the movie. It was part of you. So we weren't doing house shows.
Yeah, but how did the union? How did
they worked out a deal like a Favorite Nations deal where like everybody was like scale, like everybody made scale except Paige didn't, Goldberg didn't, and somebody else didn't because they actually took leads. Mm-hmm. So I looked at it and I said, let me think. Will this do my acting career any good? Because I really don't have enough of me being a pro wrestler. Like, I'm thinking, like, fuck. I say, or can I just do Monday Night Raws? Or not Nitros and be off the rest? Like, just go home? Like, fuck, man, you got to be kidding me.
Wow.
I'll sit home. I don't want to be on a movie.
So that was the deal for that film. That's
yeah, it was garbage.
Chris Cordova, yo, Sean and Kev, do you think Paul has brought back some of the evolved kayfabe? I notice I've been watching both Raw and SmackDown because we still don't know what's going to happen for a match at Mania, and Paul has blurred the lines between work and shoot. Your opinion? That's exactly our opinion. We talked about that if you catch last week's show. We talked about how people are watching again. That
and especially people in our demographic.
Yes,
you know, older wrestling fans,
because it's starting to feel like the Attitude Era again a little bit.
Yeah, when it's
The Rock was there.
There's it doesn't feel segment. It doesn't feel like it's a week to week. It feels like it's an actual episodic. That, I mean, there's a reason to watch because, you know, like we said, you know, you go off into the elimination chamber, you come back, you know, and you got Logan, Croc, and Randy, and then you got Drew going over. Mm-hmm. So it's just like right now, who's? I mean, I think Drew's probably their top heel. I mean, Roman, of course, but like Drew's their top heel. Like, at this point, is Roman really a heel? Like, Rock is more of a heel, but Rock is such a, that's like we talked about. He's
Road Warrior Roddy Piper heel.
He's, but it's like, out of respect, we'll play along with this. See, and that's what these people aren't getting. It's like, nobody is thinking that The Rock is turned into a bad guy. He's playing a bad guy. He's good at it. He's a really good actor. And it's like, he's a really good sports entertainer, and that's why this all works. And I watched a thing. I think it was Rivals. I think I started to watch the beginning of Rivals, and it was Triple H versus The Rock. And a lot of, like, I didn't realize that The Rock took the IC belt off of Paul, because I just wasn't around at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing something. I was doing my own thing. And I remember how, you know, fuck, Paul had to suck eggs after that curtain call. He was supposed to be getting that IC belt, and he didn't. And it ended up going to Steve. So, yeah. So that was interesting.
Gotcha.
But there's a cutaway of Rocky Maivia, the character with the smiling, and they were, you know, chanting Rocky sucks, and then they shot to a shot of Rock when he's probably shooting Fast and Furious or something. And it's like, what a completely different look. But he had hair. You know, he had hair in the. No, he didn't. He just had that really dark goatee. And he didn't, because he was bald headed. But just, you know, everybody's look is like, when you see guys and they break in, you're just like, wow. Like, they just haven't, you know, everything takes time to functionally put it together, unless you're like Kurt or Brock, because you're pretty much being taken from one video game, you know, wrestling, and put into a pro
wrestling game. Yeah, you're known from something else.
Yeah.
But you know what? How many times does a talent not get the opportunity to get seasoned, right? They stayed with Rocky. They could have, like, abandoned ship.
They could have mavened Rocky very easy.
Correct. Right. Which Rocky would now be getting 500,000 listens per day on his YouTube podcast, if that's...
No, he has that, and like, times 50 in Instagram that are paid. Like, I forget how much. I want to think it's 2 million. So when Dwayne does a movie, he gets 15 or 20. $7 gets like Sandler, like 5, and then to use his Instagram and social media, like, because he has a whole team that does all that. To get that machine is like another $1.5 million.
Outrageous.
Right? Well done. Yeah, yeah, fuck yeah.
I was talking Maven numbers.
Yeah, I'm talking about the real deal, Holyfield. That's how the hookers and hoes know how I feel.
All right, who in the audience? Who's got some questions? Let's talk to some folks here.
It's like this, like that, like this, and
James Bradford. With Victor Wembanyama, this is so funny. This was going to be my next mail-in question about Wemby. Having a 5-5 in his first 50 games, how quick do you think he reaches a quadruple-double? He's averaging like 20, 8 points or something like that? Steve, you can get
This is the kid from San Antonio.
Yeah, yeah, but he's got crazy numbers. He's got, I think he's averaging, he's over 10 boards a game, right?
Yeah.
He's in the 20s. His point average.
I don't think
averaging,
he's averaging that much.
Let me see.
I might be wrong. You're thinking of the freak in Milwaukee. I don't think there's anybody.
Yeah, really? Well, we'll see if I'm proven incorrect. Could be. I'm thinking five steals.
No, he blocks.
All right.
So 20, he is averaging 20.
10 boards. That's what I said.
Yeah.
All right. Three blocks. Three assists. Still good numbers. How was he? He's 20 something years, 22 years old, maybe 21 years old. I want to say.
He was the whole reason I wanted this season to kind of, like, right now, like they're so bad that they're hard to watch.
Anyway, it's
he's fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, he's really fun to watch because, I mean, you could just see it. It's so weird to see somebody 7'4" or 7'5", whatever he is, but he's got pretty sick handles, man. He just, mm-hmm. He's just, fuck, man. He's such a fucking fluid. Like, you think of the guys back in the day, like fucking Burleson that played at North Carolina State with David Thompson, TV Tommy, and, just gangly, Chuck Nevitt that played with the Pistons with 7'5". Like, those guys were so gangly. And then this dude's like fucking Gumby, man. He's just...
That's why when Shaq came in, that's why he was awesome, because he was thick. It was like
he wasn't when you look at him, like his first couple of years, like he was nowhere near as gigantic as he was with the Lakers, but that's when he caved in the two different backboards.
He was pulling rims down. He did pull one down in Jersey.
Yeah, he wasn't Daryl Dawkins in them, but he was doing a different. They had by the time Shaq got in, they had already went through Chocolate Thunder, and they had the spring in the back of the rim. And
that's true. Yeah.
I tell you right now, man, like, people don't realize that first model that they came out with, you could pincher, like, if you went up there to contest it and somebody was dunking, there was a chance, because they didn't have the shield thing. It was that was a kind of a haphazard invention that just got put out probably before it was
the one that would give
it just the, gave the it had like give. A it, but it, I just remember it being different. Like, the gasket was different, the spring was different. It was just it was a different, like, the one now. I mean, it's hard to even double hang on it and be a big guy and get much movement out of it. Mm. It's just to make sure that the bolts don't get pulled out of the fiberglass.
It doesn't crack the glass.
Yeah.
Who else in the house? What do we got for Kev? Give us a couple more here. We'll wrap things up. Brandon Douglas, I finally figured it out. Kevin's doing the show from the Airbnb. He rented out for Hidden Treasures. You're gonna.
I wish the one at Hidden Treasures was this nice. I would have put this over.
Brandon also asks, have you seen the new Monday Night Wars figures by Mattel? If you have, any thoughts on your figure coming with the removable hair piece and the fake Diesel figure?
The removable hair piece is so you can... I'm not always in the baseball cap that I walked out in for that moment in time. So when I joined Scott, so I think that's kind of cool. Yeah. Not having a shirt. I've never had an action figure without a shirt, so I don't have a shirt. But I have like a black T-shirt that goes with that hat, and that kind of gives me the look of when I came down the first time.
There it is. That's the one with the cap there in the ring. Yeah.
That looks like it's a prototype. Yeah, it's a prototype. That's not been painted.
What else we got? Let's get one more up here. One more, and we'll send our people home happy.
There's the Caner. It's Glenn Jacobs as a Diesel.
Fake Diesel, yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious, since I get a percentage of Diesel, if I get a percentage of that since I'm Diesel.
It's a good question. I would have asked
no,
you the
because
exact
they're going to say, no, if that's the case, and you would, that's why you bitched about going in the Hall of Fame, is you wouldn't go in as Diesel.
But, so you know, I think
I
as Diesel.
I can't double play it.
This you wouldn't, because it's Glenn's likeness. But if it's your likeness in Diesel.
Oh, no,
that.
It's my, yeah, I get that. But this is clearly Glenn.
See, Glenn's getting a check on this here.
Yeah.
But to his campaign fund.
And he should.
Well, I'd like to remind everyone, Click This is a production of Butch and Sundance Media, produced in association with Podcast Heat, created by Tristan Nash, Kevin Nash, and Sean Oliver, producer Steve Kaufman, graphics by Dominic D'Angelo, title sequence and audio edit by http://Wesley Burleson, theme song by Dale Oliver, technical research by Tristan Nash, copyright 2024, Butch and Sundance Media. Kev, you want to do another? You want to do an 88?
88, yeah, Ole's 88, let's do it.
We'll take it for a spin around the block. What did Britt say? We'll go around. We'll spin around the block in the old 88.
Turn around, bright eyes.
The customer service never ends.